Moncrief on News Talk.
Eamon McKay, originally from County Antrim, works as a therapist in San Francisco. And since the start of last year, he and many of his colleagues have noticed an acute increase in anxiety and depression among their clients. Shouldn't be too difficult to guess why that is. And it's taken a toll on Eamon as well. He's now planning to leave the US. Eamon, good afternoon to you.
John, how are you? Now, well, yourself?
When you first noted this uptick, and as I gather, other therapists were noticing it as well, what kind of things were your clients saying to you?
They're obviously with the Project 2025 playbook playing out in the United States right now. A lot of minority populations are increasingly under threat of being deported, of losing jobs, being detained by ICE. So there's a massive amount of anxiety in the minority populations currently, and that's filtering through into every therapy office in California and across the nation.
Yeah. And is it just immigration worries that the clients would have? You know, would there be other issues there as well for them?
A lot of it is economic worries. They could be deported, absolutely. They could be detained and deported. Many of them are sole breadwinners, so they are concerned about the livelihoods of their families whenever they get deported or if they are detained somewhere. So the anxieties are kind of multifactorial.
Yeah. And as I understand as well, you've a fair amount of clients who are from the LGBTQ plus community. I imagine they've a separate set of worries on top of the whole immigration question.
They do. The first thing that they were concerned about was the overturning of the Hodges versus Obergefell ruling, which made gay marriage legal. Many of them have celebrated for the last over 10 years the fact that they've been able to marry. So the gay population has been was incredibly anxious about the overturning of that legislation. Thankfully, the Supreme Court of the United States decided not to hear that final appeal against it, and there was a massive sigh of relief here. But the trans community are very much feeling this as well, because services, medical services, mental health services, surgical services that they were in the process of receiving, they were ceased without any ability to appeal these services in the majority of cases.
Yeah. Now, I suppose for any therapist, if you get someone in who's suffering from anxiety and therefore there's a tendency to catastrophize, it must be more difficult in the current environment to kind of talk them down off that ledge, if that's not an unfortunate phrase, in the sense that, they might say, well, what if this happens? And what we seem to be witnessing is that it does happen.
Yeah, we get a lot of what's known as anticipatory anxiety. They're anticipating something. And that can be anything from gentle concern about something to absolute panic within the room. And we're seeing an uptick in, kind of generalized anxiety disorder. So a lot of people are thinking about a lot of worries, like worried about my family, worried about my income. And that is at a more acute level. So we're not seeing so much the mild concerns and the mild worries. We're seeing more the panic and the catastrophizing versions of anxiety coming into the room.
Yeah. Is it possible to treat that?
The first thing that we do is we try to ground that person in the present. If there's no risk to you right now, if you are safe, if you feel your family is safe, if you feel that, ICE isn't in your neighborhood, and that's a big thing here is that tracking ICE activity, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. If there's no live threat right now, what can you do to make things easier? Can you refocus on work? Can you refocus on the family? But there's also this need for them to prepare. They're concerned about making sure that their family is in some way financially supported or cushioned. So we can do as much as we possibly can in the room, but we know that for a fact, we can't remove all the fears, all the worries, because the activities are entirely unpredictable.
Yeah, that must make your job infinitely more difficult. in the sense that a lot of these are circumstances outside people's control.
They are entirely outside of every individual's control. And, you know, like I say, you know, the only thing that people can do here is anticipate where ICE might go next. You know, Chicago has been a big one. San Francisco recently, though that was thwarted to a greater extent. LA, San Diego, the East Bay in San Francisco, places like Oakland, they are constantly being raided. So there are networks now of people tracking these vans, tracking these trucks and cars that are, you know, that they know, even though these people are very well disguised and they're behind tinted windshields, that these are ICE officers and they're in our neighborhood. So they do what they can to anticipate some kind of action.
Yeah, I suppose that's all one can do. And there was a, how long have you lived in the United States for, Raymond?
I've been here just over 20 years.
Right. And you're a naturalized citizen.
I am, yeah.
Now, and there have been reports in the New York Times now that there are plans to denaturalize people. I don't know what premise they're going to use. So these fears perhaps are your fears as well to a certain extent.
They have been. They can be. And what really kind of brought it to the fore for me is I have a 16-year-old daughter and, you know, she mentioned to me recently how she's kind of terrified that something might happen to me. And whenever it hits my daughter, then it becomes, even though I'm very aware of it, that just simply amplifies because her anxiety becomes, you know, my issue to handle for her. So I've had to kind of put together a little pack for her. You know, if something happens to me, here's, you know, here's the Irish consulate number. Here's the Irish embassy number. Here's the, you know, U.S. consulate number. So I put a little pack together for her, which I've also sent to, you know, my brother in just north of Belfast. Should anything happen to me, well, here are the strategies. Call these people. Do this. To me right now, the risk is low. But we hear the same rumors that you're reading about, Sean, in the New York Times, where the rumblings here are, let's denaturalize citizens with criminal records. Well, the way that we're looking at that is, okay, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because if you're not someone here who can trace their steps back to the Mayflower, you're still considered not an American, even if you're naturalized. So you can be, the risk here is, let's say intensifying. It's not at my doorstep right now, but it's certainly intensifying.
If you compare the atmosphere now, Eamon, and even having to make those preparations to when you arrived there 20 years ago.
Completely different country, Sean, actually. It's a completely different country. You know, whenever Trump 1.0 came in 2016, you know, a lot of people that I worked with, I've been a therapist for years, a lot of people that I worked with were saying, you know, we need to leave the country. And this is, you know, clients, this is even colleagues. A lot of my colleagues are thinking of leaving. As a matter of fact, there are huge websites dedicated to therapists who are looking to undertake digital nomad visas to work outside of the country, anywhere in Europe, Australia, Canada, wherever. In 2016, many people who said that they needed to leave did not leave. But in 2024, 2025, 2026, those people are leaving. It's a very different feel right now because the Trump 2.0 is definitively a much more vicious, intentioned, cruel system of denaturalization and deportation. And that's very, very palpable right now.
Yeah. That must be very depressing to have seen that change take place in a place you've lived in for 2 decades.
You know, but Trump still did get in with, you know, a massive majority. He didn't win any of the states here. And there is a massive proportion of this country, 50%, who are glad to see what is happening here. So I'm very left-leaning in my politics. I work in a left-leaning, I work for a company in a left-leaning state, but I live in a right-leaning state. And that, I mean, I can see these very dichotomous approaches to what's happening currently. So, yeah, for me, it's I'm not going to say depressing, but for me, it's certainly worrisome. But for many people here, they're going to continue to celebrate. They will celebrate going into Venezuela. They will celebrate going into Canada. There's a massive proportion of the population here that absolutely is overjoyed at the way that the country is developing.
And can you understand that point of view, the mindset of those people who would celebrate those things?
A lot of those people are my friends. You know, I live in a right-leaning state, although it's got a Democratic governor. So there are some powerful Democratic stratifications here. But many of my right-leaning friends are, they can celebrate it. Maybe not celebrate. Celebrate would be too strong of a word, but they do understand, let's say, why the administration is taking the steps that it is. But others are also aghast at the extremity of some of these steps that are being undertaken by every state across the land right now.
Mm. Because is there a sense that the US, I suppose it always was to a certain extent, but now it's flagrantly an imperial power?
Flagrantly so, and I think Venezuela in the last few days since January 3rd has really kind of amplified that. And then, you know, we have the administration yesterday mentioning every country from Iran to Colombia to Canada to Greenland, Iceland. You know, there's a massive amount of worry here that we're seeing a push for a much more imperialist United States than has ever been the case. That could change, and I think what a lot of people are hoping for is that in November, whenever the midterm elections happen, that the Trump administration becomes a lame duck administration.
Mm. And in terms of your future in the U.S., do you see a point at which you'll be leaving?
I mentioned my daughter, Sean, and she's 16, and there's a push here to limit female bodily autonomy, female choice. The right to vote in some states is being questioned. The right to be able to again get a credit card without the permission of your husband or your father, in a throwback to 100 years ago, 50 years ago. The more that I see her rights being eroded, the more I go, I have to prepare. And for a year, I have been preparing because I heard, since about mid-2025, of the potential to denaturalize naturalized citizens. And I'm thinking, I just need to be prepared. So I've done this, as I mentioned in the article, I've done this kind of massive spring clean recently where I've got rid of everything. I've stripped down to the bare minimum. I have no intention of leaving right now. But should something ever happen to me, or should I feel that a right has been eroded too far, or the population of which I am a member is being targeted more actively so, well, it's going to make it a great deal easier to just jump on a plane.
Eamon, thanks very much for speaking with us today, and take care of yourself and your family. That's Eamon McKay there, originally from County Antrim, and as you heard there, practices as a therapist in San Francisco.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.